If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the Gospel of John. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. I know there's something else I want to say before we turn to God's sacred book. It may come up, it may not, praise God. Oh, there is something I want to say. Y'all got Thanksgiving coming up pretty soon. Yeah. So listen, the last time I was here around that Thanksgiving, was it Thanksgiving, not the day, but that Thanksgiving meal? Right, the aroma coming up from downstairs. And I couldn't help but thinking that as we approach the fall season, if y'all would have us, we will be here. If y'all going to have that spread. Yeah, there was something I wanted to say. We will be here. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. We're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. We all know John 3:16, right? We can probably quote it with our eyes closed, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, right, shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know this particular passage in the Gospel of John. We quote it front and back. It has become a symbol of salvation. It becomes a symbol of recognition to people in the world. You all remember Tim Tebow, the football player years ago. I think he had it, John 3:16, as I forget the little things we put under our eyes in sports to block the sun out, but you all know what I'm talking about. He had John 3:16 on his face, and many sports stars and many people alike quote this particular passage. But before we get to John 3:16, there was a conversation that Jesus had had with a man, and this man is Nicodemus. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. And as my custom is, I would like, if you're able to, let's stand for the reading of God's word. And we'll be looking at John chapter 3. This is the first verse. John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And the word of God reads as follows. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different translation, it may sound a little different, but we will arrive at the same place together. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who was born of the Spirit. This ends the reading of God's word for the people of God. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you yet again as we come to the preaching portion of your service, Lord God. We've gathered here today, fellowship, have shaken hands, have celebrated in communion. Lord God, have sung hymns and worshiped and given you praise. And Father, we pray that you give us understanding of your word. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Reveal your truth. In Jesus' name, every heart says amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen and amen. For a title, we have Being Born Again. Being Born Again. Being born again. We know that birth is a new beginning. In the natural, a child is born into this world not knowing what to do, what to say, how to think, how to navigate in life. Everything that the child would need is provided for the child. God has set it up in a way to where the child grows in every stage of life into maturity. Springtime is like a new beginning. The cycle of our year, calendar year, the summer, the winter, the fall, things start to die out. The winter, things are completely dead. Leaves are falling off the trees, and it's cold and bare out in society. And then when the spring comes, we see new life. Amen? We see new life. Buds start to bloom and blossom, and trees start to take on the new leaves, and the birds begin to sing again and again. You see the cycle completing, almost like the born-again experience. Before we delve off into what being born again is, let us first talk about what being born again is not. Amen? What being born again is not. Being born again is not turning a new leaf. Many years ago, I announced friends and family how God had saved me. I may have said the words, I was born again. I announced how this new phenomenon, this new reality has now taken place in my life. Couldn't adequately explain the salvation experience, the conversion experience, but I was just so full of joy, Brother Dennis, and so happy that God was now living and dwelling inside of me. I would talk about it and talk about it. I remember receiving a card, and the card made reference to turning a new leaf. Being born again is not just turning a new leaf. I understand the analogy of turning a new leaf. I understand the analogy of putting old things away and taking on new things. But being born again is not just turning a new leaf. Being born again is not finding religion. Being born again is not finding religion. There are songs of old. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Some of our friends in different faith groups, they find religion. They equate it to being born again, but that's not what being born again is. It's not taking on the Buddhist belief, taking on the Islamic belief, or whatever belief that may be out there. In this day and time, there's so many religions. Do y'all know that people can come up with a religion and literally go down to a city council or their place of resignation where they reside at and say, hey, I'm going to start this new religion, and it's going to called Rock on the Side of the Road worship. And they can actually get funded for going to this rock on the side of the road and worshiping. Being born again is not finding religion. Now, being born again is not going through a 12-step program like NA or AA. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We have in Christian circles and in Christian churches what's called Celebrate Recovery. And I'm all for what CR has to offer. I think it might have been funded and orchestrated by Rick Warren many years ago. I'm all for Celebrate Recovery, which is like a Christian-based NA or AA, hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I'm all for what they have to offer and what they provide. And I look at it as a means of leading one to Christ. Amen. Being born again is not just a 12-step sobriety program to where you just set your mind and your hope on each and every day of being sober and one day at a time, and or like the little engine that could, I think I can, I think I can. Being born again is so much more than that. Being born again is so much more than that. Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, couldn't understand. I like this conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus, because we know that in engineering circles, Pastor Rick, and we know that in HVAC circles or electrical circles or in circles of learning as a whole, there's no such thing as a dumb question, right? The only dumb question or stupid question, we don't like to use that term, but the only question or dumb question or is the question that you don't ask, right? We've said that time and time again. For those of us who are teachers in education schools and education institutions, the only question that's dumb is the question that you don't ask, right? However, we see Nicodemus asking a question, and it kind of scratches, it causes me to scratch my head, because the most common sense, amen? The most common sense would tell you that, come on, man, you got to have a better understanding than that. He's sitting with the King of Kings. He's sitting with the Lord of Lords. Now, he approaches a humble attitude and said, Jesus, we know that you come from God. We know that you come from God because nobody can do what you're doing. Nobody, unless God is with them. Jesus healing the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, forgiving of sins. Jesus telling people taking up their sick bed and walk. Jesus sending people to the pool of Siloam and said, go and wash in the pool and open your eyes. Jesus doing everything that God had called him to do. Nicodemus coming to him questioning by night, afraid of what would happen if he would come by day. He's a teacher of the religious Torah, a ruler of the Jews, asking Jesus. Nobody are telling Jesus, nobody can do what you're doing unless God is with them. Jesus said, listen, I'm here to tell you. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus scratching his head, Lord, he asked a question, Lord, how can a man be born again? Can he do it when he's old? Does he enter the womb a second time? Then this is what I mean by the most common senses, Brother Dennis. I mean, it doesn't take a brainiac. Our grandbaby, what's his name? Your grandson? Grady. Grady can tell you that's impossible. It doesn't take a brainiac to know. But I understand Nicodemus, and I bear with him, because he's just wanting to know. He's like, look, can you enter a second time? And I mean, I'm not getting the concept of being born again. I'm a full man, a grown man, a man's man, old man. Can I go? I mean, how can this? And Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not only is Jesus doing all these signs and wonders and miracles, right? Jesus is speaking kingdom truths into the life of this individual. He's opening up an understanding to where this individual can't really grasp the concept. We may have said it earlier. I think I heard it in our part of the worship, that unless the Holy Spirit reveal unto you, right? Unless he reveals unto you the sacred truths of the Word of God. Matter of fact, he was in Corinthians. The cross, the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, amen, amen. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals unto you that which is taking place, you won't have the understanding, amen. He says, listen, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, we talk about being born again. Now, this particular passage, I'm going to break this down, right? So there's two understandings or concepts of verse 5 of what it's actually saying. Now, a lot of us, right, we use this particular passage, unless one is born of water and spirit, in regards to water baptism. Amen? We use this in regards to water baptism, how one must be baptized, right? Also, another theory and another thought is referring to the first birth, the physical birth, coming out of the sack of water, right? And then the next birth, the spiritual birth, when you become new in Christ, amen? I tend to hold to that second thought of the physical birth, and this is the reason why. The reason why is because the very verse following, Jesus says, that which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit, amen? That which is of flesh is flesh. He's saying, listen, unless a man is born again, Nicodemus can't get the understanding of what he's saying. He said, listen, you must be born of water, right? That first natural physical birth, when you're coming to this world, which is what you are, which is who you are now, you can't go back into the womb. You've already been born of the water, right? And now you must be born of spirit. And another reason why I tend to cling to that particular interpretation of that scripture is because we know that water baptism, right? Water baptism is something we do because we are saved, right? Not to get saved, right? We don't take away what God has already done on the cross for our sin, amen? Something that we do, we all say. As a matter of fact, the Central Church of God in Georgetown, and I got witnesses here, so y'all know I'm not just telling y'all just what we do. I've got the coffees here to bear witness. At Central Church of God in Georgetown, one of the things we do when we baptize, right, we bring the individual up and they set a microphone and say, hey, you know, do you believe that Christ is your Lord and Savior? And based on your confession of faith, we now baptize you, right? Based on your confession of faith, right? So Jesus said, listen, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. Then he goes on in the particular passages and says, do not marvel. You know where the wind blows where it wishes, right? But you cannot tell where it comes from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born again? Born again is a synonymous term with salvation. What does it mean to be born again? Born again is also a synonymous term with the conversion experience, with the conversion of God. I've said before that our experiences are different, amen? Our experiences are different. Some experiences based on our geographical locations, right? Someone who is in the South or the North or a different country may have a different experience when they're born again than someone over here, right? Our experiences is different. However, the conversion is the same. This is something that God does. He said in the book of Ephesians, he said, but you have saved by faith through grace, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God that anyone should, it is the gift of God, not that anyone should boast. Amen? The gift of God, not that anyone should boast. It says, upon repentance, a new order of life opens up for the believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus used this new birth to dramatically indicate a few things, right? Without the new birth, there will be no relationship with God. Amen? Without the new birth, there will be no relationship with God. This is the means that God has provided for us to have a relationship with him in and through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can't you see? You must be. You've got to be born again. Amen? Without the new birth, there will be no relationship with Christ. In new birth comes a new perspective, right? We no longer see the world like we saw it before. We now see it from a kingdom perspective, a kingdom mindset, a kingdom ideology. Jesus began to preach in the Gospels. He said, listen, you have heard it was said like this and it was said like that, but now I am telling you to do it like this. His very first message was repentance, echoing the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in his parables in Matthew chapter 13 and all throughout the Gospels, he would say, hey, listen, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. In the world, there's a way that we would do things. Before, there was a way that we would do things. One of the things we would do, an eye for an eye. You hurt mine, I'm going to hurt yours. A tooth for a tooth. You break my tooth, I'm going to break yours. Right? Those who would mistreat you, those who would hate you, you would hate them back. But Jesus said, no, in the kingdom of God, see, you love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you and those who despitefully use you. Those who ask of you, you give unto them. Those who ask, you go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. This is the kingdom mindset and the kingdom perspective, amen? In the kingdom of God, now that we are born again, right, we have a constitution, amen? We have a constitution, just like in the natural, right? In the natural, in our society, in this country, you do something wrong, you got to go to a court of law, right? If you're accused, Pastor Rick, of doing something wrong, you can be dragged to a court of law. And in that court of law, there's rules and regulations that set up. Pastor Rick would get his, what's called an attorney, a lawyer, right? And he would have to battle against an attorney called a prosecutor. They would bring their accusations against you. You'll bring your defense against them. And you would be innocent until proven guilty. I almost said it the wrong way because sometimes that's the reality. You're guilty until proven innocent, right? You got to prove your innocence. But technically, you're innocent until there's a constitution. There's a set of laws and rules that a judge would have to go by. And if you ever had heard or seen or had any court proceedings, they'll say, according to such and such, such, such in the state of Kentucky or the United States Constitution of America, we declare, we do this, do this. There's a new constitution now that you're born again. Amen. The born again believer is like in the natural. In the natural, a child is born into this world. The child has nourishment that it receives from its mother, or in today's time, infamil or bottles and Gerber and things like that. The child receives nourishment, right? And the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. He uses the different terminologies in the Bible. There's passages of the Bible. There's sections of the Bible that's equated to milk. There's sections of the Bible that's equated to strong meat. Amen. There's sections of the Bible that cause you to grow. This is for the new, for the born again believer. Now that you are born again, you no longer think like you used to think. Amen. There's a song that we sing of old, things I used to do, I don't do anymore since the Lord has laid his hands on me. Amen. Thoughts I used to think, I don't think no more. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore because the Lord has now laid his hands on me. This is what it means to be born again. Now, I'm not here to preach unto you to test yourselves. Test yourselves whether or not you're born again. I'm here to encourage you now that we are born again. Amen? This is what the born again experience is. In new birth comes a new perspective. We see the kingdom of God from a different perspective, an all new perspective. God's word becomes clear, and the Holy Spirit works wonders in the belief. The Holy Spirit works wonders in the life of believer. Faith is now created. Faith is now created. The word of God becomes clear. Y'all remember at the pool of Bethesda, not the pool, it may have been the pool of Bethesda. Y'all remember also in the Gospel of John, I believe chapter 6, the blind man who said, I was once this blind, but now I see. Y'all remember how Jesus had opened up his eyes. He was blind. He was a beggar. He was going about each and every day. Jesus had touched his life and touched his eyes. The Pharisees, not willing to give God praise, tried to put this man on trial. So much so that they dragged his parents in. Dragged his parents in the situation. And the man said, listen, and I'm going to paraphrase. I don't know what y'all are saying. All these, whatever charge are you putting up against this man, I can't say that. But I can say, I once was blind, but I now can see. That's how it is when you're born again. That's how it is when you're born again. You was once blind to the fact that we were sinners. We was once blind to the fact that we were living in darkness. We were once blind to the fact that we were sick. We was once blind to the fact that we need a Savior, but we now can see. Amen? We now can see. And not only that, one of the joys of being born again is that we can continue to see. Amen? What are you saying, Brother Ron? He said in the Word of God, in the book of John, in the Epistle of John, right? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's not a one-time confession, right? This is a continual. Because guess what? We serve a God who forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. So when we make a mistake, Pastor Rick, we can confess our sin and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But I know here at New Life, we don't make mistakes, right? I sometimes forget that I come to a perfect church and I have to remind myself, you know, that this is the most perfect congregation. So watch what you say to them. Amen. See, that's what you call an amen right there. Say it again, sister. Amen. We are continue to see from a different perspective as we continue to navigate this Christian life. Amen. Being born again, right? Being born again is more than just simply being saved. It's more than just simply being saved. Not only are we born again, but we are new creations in Christ. For it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Everything in our lives, now that we are born again, are new. We have new fellowship. We have new friendships, right? We have new intimacy, right? There's things that I would do by myself that I now can do with my wife, right? Now, what I'm referring to praying and gathering together as a family. I didn't do that before when I was single, right? So now that we are born again as a family, we do things from a kingdom perspective and a godly perspective. We sit down now at the table. Instead of mother or somebody just cooking food and you run and just grab something to eat. No, we do things differently now, right? The old things have passed away, but the new has come. Amen? The old things have passed away, but the new has come. new fellowship, new friendship, only because I'm born again, only because there's a desire to see other Christians prosper and be successful in advancing God's kingdom, only because there's a love of Christ in me and I love the people of God as well as a dying world designed for them to be saved, only because of that was I able to meet my brother Dennis, right? Because prior to Christ, I probably wouldn't know you, for one, okay? And if I did know you and I found out you was close, there wouldn't be a desire to go meet with you and encourage you along the way or receive encouragement along the way, right? Amen? Right. Only because of who we are as being born again. And I'm sure those sentiments can be reciprocated as well for my dear friend Pastor Rick. Amen? Right. Praise God. Being born again, we are new creations in Christ. In the book of Ephesians, excuse me, in the book of Romans, he said, listen, Paul encourages the church in Rome, and this is one of particular verses that I love to quote and I love to stand on. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that we are born again, we present ourselves to God, which is our reasonable service. And this is what he says. He says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. The born-again believer is not conformed to the ways of the dying world. The born-again believer is not conformed to the ways of the dying world. Our pastor just quoted it in the beginning before the communion. He was talking about in the book of Corinthians how the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. The Greek thought, the Greek culture, the wisest of the wise with their institutional learnings and higher education. You came preaching the cross, they was like, that's foolish. Get out of here with that. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to believe in a man who got up on a cross and died for the sin of the world? Hogwash. Was, I don't know if there's any hogs back then, you know, at that time, but we're in Kentucky, right? We all know what hogwash means. Amen. Hogwash. And then the Greeks, excuse me, the Jews, they stumbled on because they were blind, and that's the analogy that Paul is giving. They were blind to the fact that the Jewish Messiah had come, right, from Nazareth. What good could come out of Nazareth? And because of that, they stumbled at the reality that Jesus was the Christ, a stumbling block for the Jews. Amen? He says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The born-again individual receives the information of God with a new mindset. We receive the information of God with humility. We receive the information of God with meekness. We receive the information of God as nourishment. For those of us who spend time in the mornings or whatever part of the day in devotion, we receive that because we receive the actual word of God. We, as born-again believers, by faith, believe that God is communicating his word, communicating with us, to us, through his word every time we read it. Amen? We believe that. And if you don't believe that, just stay in the faith. You'll start believing it. Amen? We believe that God is communicating his word to us. He's communicating to us when we read the word of God. Amen. Sister Heidi, amen. We believe that. We believe that because we are born again. This is what the born again experience brings. This is what the born again mind thinks. This is what the born again believer, this is how we react. We're no longer conformed to the ways of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we know this word transform, right, is the word metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. The word metamorphosis. And we all know from science class, I believe fourth grade they started teaching about that, right? If I'm not mistaken, maybe even younger now. But we all know about the caterpillar. The caterpillar, and the cocoon and the transforming into the butterfly. The stages that it goes through. It goes through what's called metamorphosis, and it changes and transforms. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Be no longer conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that we are born again, our mind is constantly and consistently being renewed. Amen. And our mind, not only is it being renewed, our mind is, our bodies are being restored. Amen. Our bodies are being restored to health. How many of y'all believe that God is still a healer? Amen. We believe that God is still a healer. If we didn't believe that God was still a healer, then we wouldn't have prayer requests, pray for the healing of sister such and such or brother such and such. We wouldn't have ministries, mission ministries that go into the nursing homes or to the hospitals if we didn't believe that God is still a healer. Amen? Amen. Amen. And to accompany that, I just also want to say we receive the text messages, although I may not respond. But we receive the text messages from New Life, and I want to assure you that we are in prayer constantly and consistently over the text that goes out. Sometimes I receive it out in the field, and I'll say just a word of prayer while I'm working. Sometimes I come back and convey the information to my wife. We'll pray together about the certain situations. And sometimes I just say, you know what, in my personal time of prayer, just lift the situations up. I just wanted to say that because remember I said it was something else I wanted to say. But that's the born-again mind. That's how we think. We think of encouraging one another. Amen. We think of doing what we're supposed to do with one another. And in closing, praise God. Amen. I'm about to close, y'all. Amen. Amen. So the coffee's now. We got some hand signals that we'll, you know, that we've already talked about to say, hey, listen, and if I do this, it means, you know. So I haven't gotten my cue yet, but I do know it is time to close. In closing, the born-again believer thinks new thoughts. The born-again believer acts in a different way. The born-again believer is full of love. Full of love. No greater love have no man than this, than one to lay down his life for a friend. The born-again believer continually and consistently goes back to the crucifixion. The born-again believer praises God because it was supposed to be us on the cross. The born-again believer believes that God received 39 stripes and 39 lashes on his back. We believe that a crown of thorns was placed on his head, that they had put a robe around his body, mocking him as a king. We believe that he was hung high and stretched wide, his head hanging low, and for us he died. That's what the born-again believer believes. Not only does the born-again believe in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but the born-again believer also believes that he was in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and rose again to glory. And he's walking in newness of life. And because he got up, we can get up too. Amen? Because he got up, we can get up too. This is what Jesus was saying, unless you're born by the Spirit. That which is of flesh is flesh, but that which is of spirit is spirit. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and stand with me as we close in a word of prayer.